The very first time I squirted, I did it myself and I wasn't expecting it. Actually, a guy was like fucking me in the throat and I was touching my pussy at the same time and I just squirted. I wasn't even touching my G-spot, which is crazy.
Welcome to Sweet Release Podcast with me, Barbie Jean. Hi, sweets. Welcome back. Today, I'm very excited. I have this goddess here next to me, Leola. Welcome.
Thank you so much. What an introduction. Just goddess.
I love it. You have that goddess sexual power energy.
And, amen.
And you're an author of a new book, Sacred Sex Ed, which we will definitely get into. Congratulations. That's such an accomplishment.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's been a long time coming. It's such a big project, even though it comes in such a compact little package, but I'm really happy to be here, on the podcast and to be sharing this sacred and sexy wisdom. She did become an Amazon bestseller, which is really exciting.
Congrats.
So yeah,
wow. That's amazing. Yeah. I have been writing a book for many, many years. So it is my dream to publish it one day. So that's pretty epic that you have already done the deed. Amazing.
Thank you.
You have a lot of wisdom about obviously sex and pleasure. And I kind of wanted to talk a lot about like orgasms and owning your sexual power. And I kind of wanted to start with, you know, fake orgasms. I saw you posted, you know, you're very vulnerable and open and transparent with the world, which I also really love. But was there a moment in your past where you were like, you know, faking orgasms? And how did that feel and connect like with your sexual power?
Yeah, I love this question. And I think that when you had sent me some of the materials before about what we were going to talk about, one of the questions you asked more specifically was, when is the first time you faked an orgasm, or do you remember it? And I couldn't remember it. And the reason that I can't remember the first time I faked an orgasm was because it was so normal for such a long period for me. It was what I was always doing for a long period. And now it's like comical to me and also kind of embarrassing for me too, like as a sex priestess, as a pleasure priestess, as the author of Sex Ed, to say like, I used to fake orgasms, but I absolutely did. And it's actually going from that to where I am now, I think makes me such a better, you know, tantra teacher and authority on the topic in a way. But how did it feel? Yeah, I felt really disempowered in my sexuality for a lot of my life. I was raised in the Midwest where my sex education was incredibly fear-based and not entirely honest and shame-inducing. And so to explore my sexuality at any level was already such an edge that really getting deeper into what I liked and didn't like was almost like too much for me to handle. Like even just exploring sexuality and having fake orgasms was like my edge at that point. And yeah, for so long, I thought that there was just good sex and bad sex. And I really just left it up to chance. And most of my sex was bad sex just because I didn't know what I wanted. I was fuzzy on my boundaries. I really struggled to communicate in the bedroom. I was used to having sex in the dark, you know, with the door closed, you know, as quiet as possible. Like that's how we learn about our sexuality usually. For a lot of us, you know, we're not in a home where it's safe for us to ask questions about our sexuality or explore our sexuality. And that's how it was for me. So a lot of my early sexual explorations were quick and quiet and not really empowering. It was like just to have an orgasm as quickly as possible. And I could do that to myself. But because it was so easy for me to do it so quickly, then when I was with a man and it was taking longer or like I didn't really know what I liked, it was easier to just fake the orgasm. Mm-hmm. And so that's what ended up happening. Like I didn't even give myself a chance to get there, nor did I give him a chance. And then, you know, also oftentimes, you know, men don't have the right education around feminine pleasure. You know, they're learning sexuality and feminine anatomy from porn, for example, which is really there for the male gaze. And it's more about the male orgasm. And the feminine orgasm is generally fabricated in those scenes as well.
Yeah, all beautifully said. And I can relate to a lot of that. You know, I grew up in the Midwest as well. And I feel like the sex ed we got in that time of our lives was so it was just so vague, and it was, and so that's cool too. Cause your book is titled Sex Ed. I mean, sacred sex ed.
Yeah. It is a play on words. It's sacred sex ed. So, you know, we all called sexual education class sex ed, right?
Right.
But this is a sex education that is honest, empowering, and pleasure based, you know, rather than fear based and shame based. So it's acknowledging that yes, sexuality is a very, very powerful energy. In fact, it's the most powerful energy in our bodies. And in my opinion, it's the most powerful energy on the planet, because it's the energy that made each and every one of us. It's the energy that made every plant and every animal in the entire world. And in that way, it's the fabric of our existence. And when we are sexually empowered, we're harder to control as well. We're more autonomous and sovereign, and we can trust ourselves. And more often than not, we choose to trust ourselves above authorities and religion and our parents and our peers, because we're so empowered in our own life force. So again, this energy is, in my opinion, the most powerful energy on the planet. And it's been spun to be dangerous or bad or wrong, in my opinion, because it is so powerful. But we don't create safety around this powerful energy by ignoring it or shutting it down or making it bad. We create safety by mastery, by mastering this energy. And that is, you know, kind of like the book is like the entry into that path.
Yeah, I love that. That sounds amazing. That's kind of my mission too, is just really to create this space where it's like allowing people to feel powerful in their authenticity and their erotic authenticity specifically. Mm-hmm. So I love all the work that you've been doing, and it's amazing. And it's really cool to just harness that power. And do you have like a memory where you finally felt like you like harnessed that sexual power, or was there a pivotal moment for you?
Yeah, it really was a journey where different pieces unlocked at different points for me. Especially, you know, in my early 20s was when I first discovered Tantra, and seeing that it really wasn't so much like bringing in all the bells and whistles and trying all of these like different techniques. It was really just about, you know, I've met a lover who wasn't anything special. He wasn't my type, but he had this like magnetism about him that made me say yes to a date. And that was really consistent in the world and in the bedroom. He brought this intention and this presence. And like that alone was enough for me to start. Like it was with him that I had my very first internal orgasms. And again, he had a small cock. Like he didn't have like a huge big dick. It was really like the energy and the presence and like the intention that he was bringing to me, and that connection that I feel created the safety in my body for me to fully surrender and receive. Because that's really what orgasm is. It's a state of surrender. You're like completely out of control in ecstasy, mm-hmm. right? So yeah, that would be the moment.
I love that.
But that was just like the beginning. Like that planted a seed, and then it was like years of work and study.
Yeah. I like what you said, that there's like several moments that like unlocked within your sexual journey. Yeah. I'd like to kind of like dissect maybe like your first internal orgasm a little bit, because I've had a lot of people that, or I think just women in general,
yeah,
a lot of women struggle with having internal orgasms.
Yes.
And I think, you know, the most common orgasm that women can achieve, I think, is clitoral stimulation. And having a big dick too doesn't matter, because the G spot is just a couple inches inside. Yep. And so could you kind of like, break down what it was like to experience like different types of orgasms, specifically like an internal one, if you have any knowledge of that?
I'm getting all giggly and giddy talking about orgasms, because that's to me the transmission of the orgasm is like, and so much more than that. But anyways, so that first one was really beautiful. We were in a tantric position called Yab Yum, which is where like you're, as a feminine partner, you're kind of like sitting in the dude's lap with your legs wrapped around him. And yeah, it was so epic and juicy and powerful. And I thought when I got out of that relationship, like, oh, it was just him. But after that, it started to happen more regularly when I was on top. And it felt so much bigger, like as well. Like it started to feel more full bodied too. And I think that what can happen with the orgasm space with women is like we can feel like broken or not fully in our power if we're not experiencing like all of the types of orgasms. And I want to say that that's not true. And everyone has different anatomy. But what's worked really well for me is doing something called pleasure mapping, where it's kind of like a self-pleasure session, but you're really taking your time to explore all of the erogenous zones on your body. Like for me, I found out that I have an erogenous zone on my the front of my shin, which is super random and like not, you know, not many people would have something like that, but it happened because I took the time to really slow down and explore literally every inch of my body and see where was there pleasure. And what started to happen was I started to have more blended orgasms, meaning like, oh, what would happen if I, you know, stroked my clitoris where I know that I have pleasure, but I also was like playing with my hair or my neck at the same time or working with my G-spot. Like, I think that there's this misconception that a G-spot orgasm is like really just from stimulating the G-spot, but very often it's like because there's lots of other factors that are at play and that are working for you as well. And I'll also say if you try to focus too intensely on having a certain type of orgasm, that's the quickest way to push it away, mm-hmm. because nothing keeps you from being in your pleasure than being in your head. If you're in your head, you're not in your body. And it's kind of like trying to like grasp water out of the faucet. Like if you try to grab onto the pleasure, not only is it not going to work because it's just not how water or in this case, pleasure works, but you're also missing all of the sensation and the beautiful flow of the water falling onto your hand, right? And so when it comes to pleasure and orgasm, yes, look at the techniques, get the tools, try them out, but don't try to grab onto it too much because that's the thing that can push it away.
Yeah, I love that. And it is all about that flow. And I feel like mm-hmm. the pleasure, especially with, I feel like feminine energy, it's very yeah. flowy. And so I always encourage people to like slow down too. I just yeah. think that's like when the really like the sensuality comes out. And mm-hmm. so I liked what you said about that too, where it's really, you know, like slow down and soften your approach because yeah. then you'll start realizing all the little like intricacies that happen or realizing all the unique erogenous zones that you can like climax to, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that so many women think that they need like one exact type of touch and then they get so focused on I need this one sensation, but they're not focused, they're not open and available for all of the other sensations that are happening. And that's what can really expand your orgasmic potential so that you can mm-hmm. have things like full body orgasms and cervical orgasms and heartgasms and cosmic orgasms and really begin to see like there's so much more here.
Yeah, we get stuck in our ruts a lot. We get yeah. stuck in the comfortability of it. And so it's hard when you're like, I know I can orgasm in this position. I know I can come this way. It's hard to like divert to something different. But yeah, I found in my sexual exploration too that like I do often like I have my favorite way to come. And yeah. it's like the blended orgasm that feels so amazing. But then when I go into something different, like that's when that kind of like the novelty starts, or then it's just like this new awakening of like a different corner of my sexual power, which is yeah. what you want. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about like other like cosmic orgasms or like spiritual orgasms or like,
yeah.
What is that like? And what does that feel like to you?
Yeah. So they're all kind of different, but I would say that all of those types of orgasms generally fall under what I would call transformational intimacy mm-hmm. or transformational sex. So again, as I had said, when I was younger, I thought that there was good sex and bad sex. And the good sex was really dependent on like chemistry and like the person that like what they let, like what they're doing to me. And I was really putting a lot of the power in my partner rather than in myself, which what's really empowering for having these particular types of orgasms that are a little bit different than, you know, the typical orgasm is intention, like being really intentional about the experience that you want to have and using your sound breath and movement, which are the three tools of Tantra, to be your allies in this space. So once I started to learn more about shamanic sexuality specifically, I learned about the four types of sex. And those are reproductive, which is like the type of sex that I think is the most widely accepted across cultures across the world. Then there is recreational, which is, in my opinion, the type of sex that we're most usually seeking. Sex that's like really just for the feel goods, the orgasm, the pleasure. But it's usually like, how fast can I get to the orgasm? Like that's really the only, it's like a goal instead of a, like the destination that is probably inevitable. It's like, we need to get to the orgasm for both people. And then it's kind of done usually. Then there is restorative sex or restorative intimacy. And this is the type of intimacy or sex that heals your body, mind, or soul. And this can look many different ways. One way that you could think of it is like makeup sex. Like if you're feeling like disconnected from your partner, having intimacy that makes you feel closer again. And I'm not like advocating for makeup sex as like a band-aid, because it is really important to be aware if you're trying to use makeup sex as a band-aid for like values being massively out of alignment or like abusive behaviors or whatever. But it can be a really great tool to like come back to love, right? Restorative sex can also look like doing something like self-pleasure practice when you feel like a headache coming on, mm-hmm. which is something that, you know, or I'm like really stressed out. Mm-hmm. So for a lot of people, they avoid sex and intimacy when they don't feel like it. Like they don't feel like their full erotic selves because they've had a hard day at work or they're feeling a little bit under the weather. When in reality, it can sometimes be exactly what you need to actually heal. Because the idea is that our emotions are energy in motion. And when we're not fully expressing them, this creates dis-ease in the energetic body. And that dis-ease can manifest as physical disease or physical ailment or offness or stress or whatever. And so when you're having sex, you're moving that life force energy. You're waking up your sexuality and moving it through. This is gets a little bit more woo-woo, but you're moving it through your energy body, through your chakra system. And that can create space for healing and transformation. And so when you're feeling those like headache or stress coming on, invitation is to try, you know, interacting with yourself or enrolling your partner into, you know, some sexy time, because it can actually be really healing for you. It's kind of like a deep tissue massage. Like you go in for a deep tissue massage and you're like, oh, I'm resistant. This is going to suck. But like, you know, on the other side, you're going to feel so much better. And that's how I think of restorative intimacy. And then transformational is the type of intimacy or sex that changes the way you see yourself or the world. And so this can look like trying something new, but it could also look like having something like a cosmic orgasm, which feels like you're leaving your body, like you are stepping out of your body or you're connecting to this divine oneness. Our pineal gland has the ability to release DMT. What can sometimes happen in really amazing sex is you have a DMT release in your brain that literally like takes you out of your body, you transcend. Heartgasms are another one that I would consider, you know, transformational intimacy. And that feels like your heart is literally exploding out of your chest in the most delicious and juicy way. The first time I had one was completely spontaneous, but you can initiate heartgasm by, if you feel your turn on, like in your pussy or in your cock, whether you're self-pleasuring or with a partner, really like taking a deep breath and pretending like you're sending the turn on into your heart, like breathing it into your heart and then exhaling it out. And you can even do this with your partner in a way that you're like breathing in. If you're having like heterosexual sex, I'm just going to do pussy and vagina because it's mm-hmm. easy. But like, I could pretend like my husband was fucking his love into me and I'm breathing it up into my heart and then exhaling it out of my heart and into his heart and circling it back down to his cock. And it becomes what's called microcosmic orbit. That's another way that you could have transformational sex. Anyways, I feel like I've been on a tangent.
I give you a chance to respond. This tangent because you're teaching me so many things that I feel like I already do and know.
Yeah, but exactly. Like,
It's explaining it in a way that makes so much sense to me. So I loved all of that. There's been a lot of times where I use a lot of my breath in pleasure sessions, and that's kind of what you're talking about. I do feel like I'm a very sensual kind of tantra person or into that, but I never really use that word too much. But yeah. I feel like that's my vibe and kind of using my breath in to circle through my partner in these orgasmic moments really heightens it and makes it feel more cosmic in a way. I don't know if I've ever experienced like a full out of body with just pleasure, but sometimes it feels like so, so incredible that you're just like, wow, this feels, I feel
something is different
going on here. But the heartgasm thing sounds like maybe something I've definitely experienced. And the full body ones, I think too, are something that just the vibrations of my body sometimes get so overstimulated, and it's just amazing. So I really loved hearing all those different types. It helps to understand.
Yeah. And if you're listening, you might have had all of these types. You might have had some of them. But what happens is when you start to be more intentional about creating that experience, it becomes like the new standard. Mm-hmm. And so good sex becomes transformational sex, you know? And I like to say, what would happen if you decided that every sexual experience brought you closer to your highest self or God or the universe or whatever you believe in? And that to me is really the power of intention in sexuality and in intimacy as well.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I think, you know, intention is so important in life in general. And so to bring intention into your pleasure practices is just so important. And I always encourage people to do that too. You just have to lead with intentionality, and that's going to give you a better result altogether.
Exactly. In Tantra and shamanic sexuality, there's this foundational belief that every sexual act is procreative in nature. So obviously, if you're trying to make a baby, you're trying to make a baby, and that's mm-hmm. procreative. But every other sexual interaction, including self-pleasure or a tantra massage or a blowjob or whatever, is also procreative in nature. It's a moment where you're connecting to source, and there's an availability for something to come through, which is kind of related to sex magic as well. So I once had a partner where every time we would meet intimately, he would ask me, like, he would be like licking my pussy, and he'd be like, what are you calling in? Like, what are you manifesting? And like, he'd have me say it out loud while he went down on me or while he began thrusting inside of me, like acknowledging that this is a time where, you know, our body is being flooded with all of these incredible feel-good hormones. And via the law of attraction, when we're experiencing love and pleasure and joy and gratitude, we become a magnet for more things on that vibration. So what better way to maximize your intimacy with yourself or with a partner than by also deciding what you want to create in the world?
Yeah, I love that. I've done that with my partner too. When we've like moved into a new place, you're just like trying to channel that kind of, you're like just manifesting ultimately. So thinking about, that's what you guys got to do, sweets, is if you really want something, you know, manifest it in the bedroom. I think that's like a good practice to do. Do you have any other practices or like self-care practices or tools that you use to like feel good and continue on this journey?
So many. First of all, I love that you call your listeners sweets. That's amazing. It's so cute. I call the people in my community my lovers. Hello, lovers. So the book itself, I'm just going to do a little plug for the book because practices, right? Okay. So every chapter of the book, and there's 15 chapters, has a practice that ends the chapter. So we've got things like, this is in the part one of the book, we've got a forgiveness ritual. We've got like a higher self meditation. There's sex magic in here. There's an exercise called God is my Dom. There's lots of really fun, juicy things in here. So lots of little rituals and take home things to, you know, connect you to your pleasure, as well as to help you heal from any inherent sexual trauma that you might have from your sex education or early sexual experiences, as well as empowering you to find pleasure in places that you might have been told not to look or might have been afraid to look, and doing things like sexual shadow work as well.
Yeah, that's important. I've talked about that with some guests in the past too. Really, again, it's like intentionally tapping into all these corners of your body and your mind.
Yep, exactly.
Moving through them.
Yeah.
Healing is, Yeah, I've maybe we should lean into healing too. I'm like getting caught on all these tangents. I'm like, oh, there's so many directions to go. But yeah, do you use sex a lot to heal? But do you use like breath work a lot to heal and these other parts in your existence? Yeah.
Yeah. So one thing I want to highlight is this book is about sex and sacred sexuality, but it's also a lot more than that. And the lineages that I've studied under are mainly Tantra and shamanic sexuality. And Tantra especially is so much more than sex. It is very sexualized, especially in the West, primarily because of the lineage known as Neo-Tantra, which means new Tantra. But Tantra itself, the word, is a Sanskrit word, and Tantra comes from East Asia. And Tantra in Sanskrit, tan is to expand and tra is to liberate. So when you think about that, the word and the modality of Tantra is meant to help you find your unique path to expansion and liberation. It's so subjective, expansion and liberation. And what I love about that is that it's really different for everyone, what that means and what that looks like. And so in Tantra, there's no good or bad or right or wrong or very prescriptive path. It's more about finding what works for you in each chapter of your life as well. And so it has looked different for me in different parts of my life, but yeah, breath work has definitely been a big piece, which is also a piece of Tantra. Yoga as well, journaling, having like intentional relating intimacy that isn't sexual, but is, you know, physical or emotional in nature as well. In Tantra, sex is really just one tool in the toolbox.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. It's good to just remind yourself that there are all these things that can coexist together, but also separately, they're really powerful too.
Yeah. Yeah. And in even like the Tantra of East Asia, there's two main schools, and there's red Tantra and white Tantra. And red Tantra is the more feminine path. It's called the left-hand path. And it's where you are invited to experience things like sexual intimacy with another person, even orgies, medicine, meat, alcohol, like all of that is okay in red Tantra. Whereas in white Tantra, it is more of a monastic path. It's more of a meditative path. It's more about finding inner union rather than finding inner union through another, which is a little bit more of a red tantric path. And I think that they're both really amazing. I actually often invite individuals to have a basis of white Tantra before really diving deep into red Tantra, because white Tantra really empowers you to know yourself and have a really strong foundation. They say that in red Tantra, it's like it's a faster path of self-evolution, but it's easier to get distracted and to fall off the path. Whereas in white Tantra, it's the slower path. But it's the more like safe and sure path, if that makes sense.
Mm, yeah. Fascinating.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I like the idea of knowing yourself first before exploring, especially sexually. That's something I hone in on a lot too, is if you're interested in exploring kinks or your body or different ways to orgasm, sometimes you can experience those yourself first, or, you know, explore, you know, different erogenous zones and find what works for you within before kind of moving outward.
Yeah.
Has there ever been an experience where you've, tried to figure out your body? Like, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a specific, like tried to make yourself squirt or something before like a partner has.
So first of all, squirting is great. I love squirting. And I also like, I feel like this is one of those places too, where like everyone's like, I need to squirt. Like right now it's like, if I'm not squirting, then I'm doing something wrong. Like it's interesting. I'm witnessing this, that I feel like there's a bit of like shame if like you can't squirt. Mm-hmm. And so I will say that like squirt, I'm not someone that's like just like a fucking fountain either. Like I have to really relax and surrender. And if I try to squirt, it's going to take so much longer. So I have made myself squirt. Actually, the very first time I squirted, I did it myself and I wasn't expecting it. Actually, a guy was like fucking me in the throat and I was touching my pussy at the same time and I just squirted. I wasn't even touching my G-spot, which is crazy. So again, that's another thing that people think that it's going to look a specific way, and it doesn't always. Like some of my favorite squirting times were from no G-spot stimulation. And another thing too is that a lot of women have probably squirted without realizing it, because people have different amounts, just like there's different amounts of like semen for men. Like you could be squirting, but just have like less juice, if that makes sense.
Less liquid coming out.
Yeah. So just planting that there for people that are like really trying to squirt, to not expect it to look, especially not to expect it to look like on porn where like it's literally like a fucking
fountain,
like fire hose. You know, it can look like that and that's totally normal too, but the way that a woman squirts is also is just as different as the like types of pussy on the planet. Like they're all different. So yeah. Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
I feel like I answered it and then I went somewhere else. So
no, I think I was starting with, you know, just focusing on your body first before.
Yeah. I have a good one for that. Yeah. If you want.
Oh yeah. Let's do it.
I feel like I have a better one than squirting. Ass play is one that I really recommend doing on yourself first. So I had like anal trauma. I was non-consensually penetrated in my ass. I'm pretty sure I was like drugged. This was like in my late teens. And so I had a lot of trauma around my ass and like going there, other partners going there. I remember one time a man was like giving me a back massage and like I was just reliving being raped basically. And so for me to then be in a place where I knew that there was some trauma there and I had, you know, talked to my therapist about it and journal, but like it wasn't getting to like the healing piece, and it didn't feel right for me to have my partner explore that first. So it was me first that started just gingerly touching my asshole and like playing softly and like feeling like, oh, there actually is pleasure here, but it definitely doesn't look like, you know, being really intensely penetrated, like with nothing else there. And so it was so like liberating for me to discover that and to begin to reclaim that part of my body, and to slowly play and to touch. And then I remember I brought my partner in and like, I first just had him watch what I was doing and just witness. And then I took his hand in my hand and kind of like showed him what I was doing, and then went all the way, not necessarily with that partner, but over time, like went deeper and deeper into ass play with partners and building that, that comfort with them as well.
Yeah. Thanks for sharing. I think a lot of people have dealt with some sort of sexual trauma. And then so to kind of harness that power through exploring your body in a vulnerable, slow paced way, I think is so important.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's amazing. And ass play is the best. I'm like a big supporter of that too. Anal pleasure all the way for men too. Don't deny that prostate pleasure. But yeah, going to town with yourself is so fun, like with some butt plugs, with some, yeah, there's so many toys that you can explore. So
it's so good. I mean, you do really have to relax and soften. Apparently it's anal August, by the way. So happy anal August, everyone. But yeah, and I think that the other thing is like ass play doesn't need to look like having a cock or something the size of a cock in your ass. It can be like circling around and like feel amazing and beautiful. So there's just such a range. But if you're completely closing the back door because of your fear that it's going to hurt or look a certain way, you're leaving a lot on the table, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And yeah, prostate play. Let's go for the dudes. Big fan.
Anal August, please get in there, guys.
Get in there.
Get in there, sweets. What's your favorite orgasm to have? Do you have a favorite or do you kind of, depends on the day of the week?
What's my favorite? I mean, I love all orgasms. One I've been exploring more intentionally lately is cervical orgasms. Mm-hmm. And just kind of de-armoring that space. Maybe it's because my husband and I are like about a year or so away from like conceiving a child, and that's really the gateway, right? But I think that I really love energetic orgasms, actually, which can happen in a sensual or intimate or even sexual container, but they can also happen like from connecting to like the like nature, you know, or like just I don't know, just like opening your heart, doing breath work, and so I really like energetic orgasms.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Energies. A powerful thing.
Yeah. It's just, to me, it's like, oh my God, this is like defying the laws of like pleasure, or like, I don't know, like it's defying everything that I was told about pleasure and desire. And so it just feels really juicy and almost like weirdly taboo to me to have an energetic orgasm. Like I feel special.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. you are special.
I am.
Do you feel like exploring all these different types of orgasms or even exploring your sexuality has really allowed you to kind of like harness this power?
Yeah.
Do you feel like really powerful in your sexual energy now? Like it
seems
like, yeah, you are.
Yeah. I feel very sovereign. I feel very comfortable in my sexuality. And I also feel really supportive and like empowering of others in their sexuality too. Cause I think that like when people think like, oh, if I'm going to be sexually liberated, like that kind of freaks me out because that means I'm going to become like an OnlyFans, whatever, or I'm going to like be dancing on Instagram and like, or I'm going to become super poly, which are all great things, by the way, and like have, you know, dabbled in all of those in various ways. But your sexual liberation could also look like really intentional monogamy, or it could look like conscious celibacy, or it could look like, oh, actually now I see my body as sacred in a way that I want to be more intentional about where I reveal it, and understanding that everyone's expression of sexual liberation looks really different, and being in a space where I can celebrate everyone in that, because I've seen myself in various parts of my journey judging the girl that was, you know, dancing half naked on Instagram. And now that's like me. And then I've also seen myself judging conscious celibacy, you know, and like, I feel like the more that I've allowed myself to explore the breadth of all that it is to be a human, the more that I've been able to celebrate and understand that everyone's intention looks different, and therefore their expression of liberation looks different too. And everyone's worthy of finding what is their right fit for liberation and expansion. And everyone's worthy of being seen and celebrated in that as well.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. We're all so diverse, and we all should be just harnessing that self-love, because you're beautiful the way that you are.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Well, as we wrap up, I always like to ask my guests that last time they had that sweet release.
Okay, last orgasm that I had. So I believe that it was on Thursday. I think it was on Thursday.
Okay, so a few days ago.
Yeah. I had an event here in LA, and I was like, I want a little pep in my step. Yes. So I'm just gonna have a sweet little orgasm. It wasn't anything like
so
super
self-pleasure.
Yeah, it was self-pleasure. Yay, it was self-pleasure. That. Yeah, it was self-pleasure. And it was great. It was beautiful.
Do you just use your hands, or did you have a vibrator?
This time I didn't have I don't use a vibrator a ton. Although I did actually, I got this like tiny magic wand. Mm-hmm. I got it at an event. My friend like did this like sex event, and the wands, like whatever sponsored it, the one that's like giant, but they have like a little tiny like keychain size one. The big one's too intense for me. That one, I was like, this is so cute. So I did have that. I didn't really use it though. Actually, no, I think I put it on my ass for a minute, and I was touching my pussy. And then I have this glass wand that's shaped like it looks like a dragon's tongue. Is the only way I can describe it. Mm. I randomly found it on Alibaba of all places years ago when I was thinking of starting like a toy company. Anyway, so I had that. It was on 8/8, and I was like, I'm manifesting. And I was like thinking about what I wanted to manifest. And I was really surprised by what came through, because I went into it being like, oh, like book stuff and like new clients and like, I often use my self-pleasure to figure out what I actually really want in life too. So when I was like thinking about some of the things I thought that I wanted, like let's just say like a certain amount of money in my bank account, I like that wasn't really turning me on. Like it wasn't getting me closer to orgasm. But then I started to think about like being on stages and being on TV. And I like super got off on it. I was like, oh my God. Okay. That's what's next. Like I need to like put myself out there in those places. Yes. So it was really fascinating. It was really, really fascinating.
I need to do that.
You brought it all back for me. I was like, when was it? Oh yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes I feel so confused with like where I want to go, what I want to do, what path I want to take. Like I'm really loving this podcast path. Like really loving it, like even the editing, like I'm just like really loving it. But yeah, I've dabbled into coaching. I've dabbled into workshops. Like I'm, you know, still writing my book. And I just, sometimes I'm just like, what do I want to make of this? You know?
So yeah.
I think next time I'm with my Hitachi wand, I'm going to be like, okay, let's see what gets me off right now. Let's just imagine the possibilities.
Yeah. Like see, like as you're masturbating, thinking about like you with your published book, is that what does it? Or yeah. is it like you launching like this new container? Like, and yeah, be curious to see what like really is like, oh, body is a yes mm-hmm. to that. Okay. That's where I'm gonna put my energy.
Yeah. Listening to your body is like also just a great lesson too. Cause that's where energy starts, you know, is mm-hmm. like the sensations on our body. So that's going to give you the first cues to know like you're doing something good.
So true.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Leola, for being here today. It's been so fun getting to know you.
Thank you for having me. I'm just going to.
Is there anything? Yeah, I was going to say, please share anything else. And you said yeah. you have clients too. So if there's anything else that my listeners would yeah. love to probably know about you. So please.
Yes, I do a bunch of different things. So if you're like desiring something, I probably have somewhere that I could point you. But the book, Sacred Sex Ed, just came out. It's on Amazon, super easy to find. I also have online communities for Tantra and shamanic sexuality. If you buy the book and you go to my website and go to the book page, there is a place where you can input your order number and your email, and then you'll get a free month in my membership, which includes over 30 hours of additional Tantra educational material that is different from the book. So that's awesome. I also do retreats, co-ed retreats. I also do retreats just for women, but the co-ed retreats welcome couples and singles. I do play parties in Austin. I work one-on-one with people. I also have a program called Pleasure Priestess for women who are wanting to follow the Tantrika path and go really deep in this, whether it's for their coaching practice or for a partner or for themselves. So yeah, that's like a little...
Oh, that was perfect. Thank
little
you.
Little menu. Expedited it. Menu.
Yeah. And you're an Austin
I am.
Lover or liver.
Yes. I come to LA like a few times a year, but I'm mostly in Austin.
Well, maybe I'll see you there. I'm planning a trip, I hope, soon in
Yay!
The future.
Yay. Let me know.
Well, thanks again for being here. I appreciate you. And
thank
sweets,
you.
Be sweet to yourself. Be sweet to those orgasms. Just welcome them sweetly. Love you guys. Talk soon. Bye.
That was great.
Oh, thanks, babes.
Sweet is so your word. We have a very sweet energy, too.
Oh, thanks.